All right, is it recording?
Welcome to Left and Leftist, the podcast that takes a no-holds-barred, skeptical look at politics. When the right is wrong, and you need somewhere to turn, head on over to Left and Leftist. This is episode 19, and I am your host, Coulter, and as always, we're joined by our two co-hosts. We have Kanye's future campaign manager on the left. We have Caleb.
Kanye 2020!
2024!
Well, yeah, 2024.
Yeah, yeah, okay, he's on the ballot.
For my future. Okay. Seeing Kanye on the ballot in Utah made my day today. And in keeping with my campaign to be his future campaign manager, I have already converted at least 3 voters for Kanye. It's super easy. All you have to say is the best way to fuck 2020 in the ass is a vote for Kanye. And people are all in. And I think we should take it to the streets. I need a bullhorn and some shitty music, and I'm ready to go.
There's so much wrong with that whole
comment. Hey, Kanye makes a lot of shitty music. Just run Kanye behind
well,
your bullhorn. There you go.
When I said shitty music, I was specifically, I mean, we were all inferring Kanye's music.
Right? Oh, okay. Sorry to step on that.
Well, next we have the guy who regrets the days when he thought Rush Limbaugh wasn't a fat tool. We have our pitchfork-wielding leftist, Sheldon.
Yeah, I was a big fat idiot, among other things and observations. But now, I'm a big fat leftist idiot. With a pitchfork! With a pitchfork! And a Manhattan. So, let me take a look. Oh, yeah, very nice.
Yes.
All right, so grab your pitchforks and your empty whiskey bottles and join me. We're going to pelt Mini Mike Lee's offices with our empties, and then we'll stab anyone who tries to stop us.
I'm a senator.
Oh, man. Can you just join the conversation as Mike Lee and just be like, but guys, and we'll be like, oh, shit, it's Mike Lee.
It's actually not a bad idea. But before we get into bashing Mike Lee for the next hour, we have to dive into this week's Lefted Screed.
Okay, I am an anti-fascist. To say that does not necessarily mean I am Antifa. It's a delineation being ignored on the left lately for a simple, and I think stupid, rhetorical purpose. People are running about saying Antifa means anti-fascist. So if you're not Antifa, what are you, a fascist? No, that is not strictly what it means to be Antifa. Let me explain. Any person who believes in an open society with democratic institutions, you know, like equality before the law, elections, that sort of thing, is anti-fascist. Because fascism is a system which eliminates those institutions. Antifa, on the other hand, that describes a person who confronts fascism with an aim to preventing its influence on society. And there is a difference. I think it is best illustrated, at least in its inception, in the battle for Cable Street. In October of 1936, you know, during the Third Fucking Reich, the British Union of Fascists, calling themselves Blackshirts, were permitted to stage a march through the streets of East London, which, by the way, was home to a large Jewish enclave. Metro Police, amid widespread public backlash, guaranteed the participants of that march of the British Union of Fascists free rein to hold that march. And on the day of the demonstration, several unaffiliated and unconnected anti-fascist groups took it upon themselves, without, as I've said before, unified organization, to physically oppose the procession of fascism through their city. They built roadblocks through the entire permitted route, and when the fascist march was about to commence down Cable Street, it was halted by the anti-fascist demonstrators. And before it even really began, the permit to march, the permit granted to the British Union of Fascists, it was revoked. There's no central organization. This was about a half dozen disparate groups of anti-fascist leaning organizations who took it upon themselves to physically oppose fascism marching through East London. That, to me, is the beginning of Antifa. The difference right now is best summed up in the words of ministry songwriter Al Jorgensen. He writes, "We're not snowflakes. We are the Antifa." The term snowflake does, unfortunately, apply to a great many anti-fascists. These are people who do not approve of the racist, misogynist, anti-democratic tools that the far right employ, but they are also people who are unwilling to take direct action to stop them. Who knows why they're unwilling in the United States right now? Because fascism isn't just creeping in our country, it's here. It's serious. It's being openly encouraged by the oval orangutan, the freaking Cheeto in charge, and it's deadly dangerous. I don't need to run down the full litany of reasons that I say that. Let's begin with Dylan Roof, who just guns down better than a dozen worshipers in an AME church in South Carolina, hoping, in his words, to accelerate a race war. Then we've got Charlottesville, the Unite the Right rally, the very antithesis to anti-fascism. What happened in Charlottesville were a group of disparate fascist groups coming together to forge an alliance. And we all know who that ended, and no matter what the Cheeto says, there were no fine people on the side of fascists. We've got people like Stephen Paddock, whose right-wing craziness was joined with an obsession with guns, which is allowed under our laws, who finally snapped and gunned down 54 people on the Las Vegas Strip. We have the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter, the Sheikh Temple shooter. We have Kyle bleeping Rittenhouse just a couple weeks ago. And just last week, we had something that truly blew my mind. The way that the media, not just the national media, but local media, treated the shooting in Denver, framing it as if it were an Antifa rally. The Black Lives Matter rally was taking place in Denver, which resulted in an incident that we'll get into right after I'm done with my blowhard screed. It has been framed as a patriot being gunned down by Antifa, which is not at all what happened. But when media plays that role, they are doing the bidding of the oval orangutan. And that is something, in my opinion, which is extraordinarily dangerous. The dangerous, as I said, is here. It is real. The president of the United States wants people to believe that Antifa is a terrorist organization which is coming to shoot them dead in the streets. That's how serious it is. And I said earlier that my being an anti-fascist does not necessarily make me Antifa. And it does not. All the joking we like to do on this show, and my declaration of being Antifa aside, I personally have not much taken the actions which are necessary to halt American fascism. I haven't gone out of my way, and I'm ashamed to say it, although I am willing and I am prepared to take direct action when my community is directly threatened by fascism. I am not Antifa. I haven't yet manned the barricades. Now, hopefully my tendency towards being a snowflake, along with so many others whose sympathies are actually with the movement, does not mean that Antifa fails to halt fascism in this country. Because if it does, we become, ipso facto, a fascist country. And that's the bottom line, because the leftist said so.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
And now that we're back from that amazing leftist screed, I want to say, and I want to let all of the other co-hosts know, that I voted this week, and it was a glorious thing.
I, too, voted. I voted today.
Y'all want stickers? Is that why we're bringing it up? You need
no.
You need
I'm
sticker?
Glowing. I'm glowing. If you had a camera now, you could see my glow. Okay. There's two kinds of glows. There's like the pregnancy glow, and then there's the I voted glow. That's me.
All right. Well, speaking of elections, we're recording on Thursday the 15th, which was the pre-scheduled day for the second ultra-important presidential debate. It's been halted because, of course, the president is a coronavirus vector around whom people should not be allowed. So we had, what, competing town halls? Did either of you catch any of this?
I did watch a bit of the Biden town hall. I got to be honest, it was something where after watching about 30 minutes of it and realizing that it was pretty much a snooze fest, I did walk away and leave my TV on the entire time watching it so that if any ways that they're getting ratings by tracking my TV habits, at least they know that I watched the entire
What, you're
thing.
Trying to juice the Nilton were rating?
You, totally, you, totally.
Were you, you don't have a Nilton like box, waiting, do you?
Were you waiting for like the gecko or the fly or the spider or whatever was going to be this week?
I don't know. I do feel like...
That's the only thing that was going to cause ratings, okay?
You know, the only thing I would say is there was a... It was pretty much softball questions, at least what I saw to Biden. And except for one question that really stood out to me was a guy who got up and was making really weird faces when Biden was like replying to him. He was like going, nobody can see this, but he was just making really odd faces as he would talk. Maybe he had Tourette's. And if he does, I'm sorry.
Were they like he was suppressing a fart face?
Goddamn, fuck. Yeah. Fuck yeah, Tourette's.
Something Shit. Like that. Yeah. Something like that. And Douche, if you have Tourette's, old. We're not here. We're,
Sheldon,
we're not here.
Sheldon,
we're not here.
Speaking. Die. Die.
Sheldon. Sheldon, what? I'm speaking.
What? Shit. Okay. Balls.
Sheldon, I'm speaking. Okay.
Balls. Shit. Fly face. Fly head. Okay.
Mr. Hey, President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking. If you don't mind letting me finish.
Shit. Balls.
You know, I kept that on purpose just for that moment.
That's right, so, butthole.
As I was saying, because this joke is now officially getting old, I was saying that the gentleman actually put out there, you know, we've got less troops in Iraq and Syria, and don't you think that the foreign policy of President Trump is actually good? And I was just like, man, that's the only thing that they could even say was that, like, you know, yeah, we have a few less troops in places, but like our foreign policy is in shambles, right? So yeah, that would be my only real feedback was, and Biden gave a good answer to it. He talked about our allies and the fact that nobody trusts us in the world because we go against our word, and the fact that we now have lost all credibility when it comes to things like ethics and morals, which we never had in the first place, but at least we don't even have the facade anymore. And so, you know, to be honest, that was pretty much what I got out of it, at least on the Biden side. I didn't
Did
watch
you see
the
any?
Trump one at all.
Caleb, did you see any, Caleb?
Absolutely not. No.
No way.
I could give two shits about either. Yeah, no. Didn't even cross my mind to turn that shit on.
What I really liked about it is NBC is feeding us full of Donald Trump again. Donald Trump was dead. He was buried. No one gave a shit until NBC made him a game show host.
Well, you know.
And here we go again.
Comcast, so, the most evil corporation in the world.
Well, it wasn't Comcast.
They're just preparing for the inevitable. They're going to need a fucking co-host. They're going to need a game show host later when he's out of office.
Are you saying NBC is not owned by Comcast?
It was not owned by Comcast when The Apprentice began. It was purchased by Comcast after. I'm just saying.
Don't you think it's going to be fun to watch him do the game show host thing like Johnny Cash did from Fulton County Jail, though? Like, that's going to be rad.
Oh, keep
Nothing?
Dreaming that Donald. Keep Come dreaming on. That. He's keep getting, dreaming oh, that. Don, I'm sorry,
no,
man.
But
keep
like
dreaming
the,
that Donald
you know
Trump
be,
is going to
wait,
prison.
Wait, hold on. Let's dream.
It's a beautiful
this,
dream.
Right. Let's dream this, and I can imagine the Apprentice prison version where he's like, "Paco, you didn't keister the crack well enough. Now you're fired." And then he's like,
and then he gets
Vinny,
like his ass beat by a bunch of like Aryan Nation.
Yeah, he's like, Vinny,
in
shake
jail.
Him. Yeah.
Okay, we've devoted way too much time to something that I didn't watch.
Something that we didn't even. Yeah.
But Sheldon, right, well, you wanted to throw off, you wanted to start off headlines with a specific story, specifically talking about Denver. So why don't you introduce this story?
I mentioned it at the end of my little rant. I'll lay out the basics for you. A person named Lee Keltner was counter-protesting a Black Lives Matter protest in Denver on Saturday, and for reasons known only to the genius who is someone who's called a patriot, he decided to get into an altercation with a person who was working as security for a local news station. The reason why the altercation started is not known. What is known is, as they were exchanging words, the Keltner, patriot genius, flag-waving, awesome guy, decided to haul off and smack the security person, whose name was Matt Doloff. And as Doloff regained his balance and turned to approach him in retaliation, Keltner took two steps back and pulled out a can of mace, which he then proceeded to use. And Doloff shot him dead. He pulled out a pistol that he'd been carrying and shot him right in the head. And I don't like. That's the story. That's
looking at. Can we link this link that shows the frame by frame from the Denver Post? Can we link that on the webpage?
We can link it, but just I want to be very clear. The Denver Post specifically is going to be paywalled, so. I think they might give you a couple. They might give you a couple up if you don't normally read the Denver Post. I'm local. I do, and so
listeners,
I hit the paywall all the time.
Just Google frame by frame.
Yeah, just Google frame by frame and Doloff, and it should bring it up. It is unbelievable. Like, I'm looking at it now, and it is just this like moment by moment breakdown of just a really stupid idea. It's unbelievable. It's kind of breathtaking.
All right. Like, well,
my only feedback on this entire story is obviously I'm in Denver. I saw this story unfolding in the news. It's essentially local news to me here. And I when this unfolded, the first thing I thought in my mind is, holy crap. Somebody got shot at a protest here in Denver, because for the most part, the protests, even when they're yelling at each other and you have protests and counter protests, have generally been pretty calm here. And the fact is that with this story, particularly, it was weird to pull up and see that it was a security guard for a local news station that actually gunned this man down. And the only way that I look at it when I first read it was, oh man, well, at least it wasn't something where they're going to try to use it against the left. But of course they do.
They immediately did. Look, the Denver Post, you referenced it already. They initially referred to Doloff as being a left-wing demonstrator, which in fact he was not.
He was not. He was essentially a bystander.
Essentially a bystander.
Didn't
I mean, we'll
he
get
have
into
a shirt on that was. His shirt said "Black Guns Matter."
No, not Keltner. Keltner's shirt said "You're fucking." His shirt says "You're fucking right. All lives matter." It's Keltner's shirt.
With the man
Keltner.
The Black Guns Matter.
Keltner's your tattooed guy. Doloff, yeah. The shooter, is your khaki sporting, is your, like, I'm out doing a day's work.
Yeah, he's out doing a day's work. He's a security guard. He's actually was a hired security guard by a local news organization, Nine News here, which is like the local TV news. He was basically there to protect the crew that was trying to cover the story. And this right-wing agitator, right? Let's say he was a right-wing agitator, goes out and becomes aggressive with a security guard, and the security guard shoots him down. Now,
because he got too close to the reporters. He was probably, I mean, let's
face
it.
He was trying to protect the people that he was hired to protect.
This freaking so-called patriot of the so-called patriot muster. See, this is the kind of shit that just makes my blood boil. And, you know, Lee Keltner was probably jeering at a journalist and getting too close. And this guy, the way the altercation started, probably just said, hey, back off, buddy. Probably. I mean, that's kind of what it, hey, back off, buddy, and then there you go.
I personally am going to wait for the facts to come in, because I'm not going to make assumptions, because that's not really my place. I wasn't there. I wasn't a witness to it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know exactly what happened.
But as this Dolov character was not part of the group of people who were there to observe and jeer at and yell at the Patriot muster... I'm sorry. What? All right. This is the other thing that I wanted to get into. Which one of you wants to talk about his Dolov's status as a security guard?
Yeah. So Dolov was a security guard. He apparently did not have the proper license to be a security guard, yet was hired through a subcontractor from the Pinkerton security company. And even in the articles that I've read, specifically ones that Sheldon had sent me as we were building out the script for the show today, they still hadn't had clear information about what security contractor he actually worked for. And, or if they did know, they obviously know that, but they weren't releasing it. And in the end, he also wasn't supposed, according to the police and according to Nine News, wasn't supposed to be armed. But that being said, it's one of those things where there's a lot that could have happened here. He could have been protecting himself. He's obviously getting maced and hit. You know, if we were talking about a stand your ground law in Florida, he would probably just get off at this point. But Colorado doesn't really have one of those. So, yeah, I'm more of a wait and see what actually comes out of it as they learn more information.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it's pretty obvious that he's probably not gonna get charged with murder. It's probably gonna get charged with manslaughter. It's probably he's not defending from deadly force. It's pretty impossible to say that mace, which was designed to not be deadly. It's hard to say that you're defending yourself from deadly force from a product that was specifically designed not to kill people.
He's sitting in jail right now, charged with first degree murder.
Yeah, charged, but I don't think that those are the charges that are going to be brought by a prosecutor.
To me, this is all like a bad news then good news kind of story. If it all sort of evens out the way it's being portrayed, all right, I'm going to set aside my sympathies and my leanings to some right-wing pussy running around with mace getting his head blown off, because I applaud that. I'm going to set that aside.
We all know how you feel about
it. I applaud that.
Yeah,
however, the bad news is that all the media seemed to think that there was some sort of Black Lives Matter and Antifa thing going on. An Antifa thing going on, when what was in fact happening was a right-wing rally to which a handful of left-wing counter-demonstrators showed up. And, you know, the person, Dolov, was there as part of a journalist detail. But let's look. If you can now be a Pinkerton and you are not allowed, you are not licensed unless specifically licensed to do so, to... I don't know, keep people away from journalists, or I don't know, keep people away from scabs being brought into a shop that is being picketed by striking workers, because, you know, that's what Pinkerton does. That's Pinkerton's primary job. Cool. Now, whenever Pinkerton decides to assault picketing workers outside of a striking shop, they get to go to jail for it. That would be a fantastic turnaround, because that's who this guy is a fucking, he's a Pinkerton.
Oh yeah, so, no, and he's not going to get the police treatment in the media. He's not going to get the police treatment by the prosecutor, by the judge, that guy's going to jail for some time.
Period. Well, would be a cool turnaround. So the next time Pinkerton are sent out to break up a strike, the cops had goddamn well better be out in force to round up the fucking Pinkerton, shouldn't they? Oh, that's not going to happen. But it would be good news, wouldn't it? If that's the new stance, if that's the new official stance that Pinkerton are unlawfully using force, that would be cool.
It's just
true,
me,
but
honestly,
was the last time? Whoa. I am going to push back a bit, Sheldon, and say, when was the last time Pinkerton security guards were hired to break up a riot and they actually pulled out guns and mowed people down?
There was never any riot. Pinkerton create riots. When they break a strike, Pinkerton create riots.
The point I'm saying
sure.
is, all right, let's say we've got a picket line here. It's the year 2020.
Let's say that there is a...
Let's say there's a picket line. They hire a bunch of security guards to break up the picket line. When was
so
the last
they can
time...
get the temporary
when was the
inside?
Last
Sheldon,
time...
He's
when
speaking.
Was the,
Sheldon,
when was, yeah,
he's speaking.
When was the last time in 2020 that Pinkerton security guards pulled out guns and shot demonstrators?
So if we are going to... If there's any chance
in 2020...
If there is any chance to alter the material fact of this country, striking and shutting down shops is absolutely necessary. So when security come out to break the strikes, they are unlawfully using force and the police are going to haul them in and put them up on charges, right?
And I do not disagree with you. I actually do agree with you on that fact. What I'm trying to say is that trying to say that a security guard who was unlicensed in a downtown demonstration to protect
the
a
Pinkerton
news
were never licensed. The Pinkerton are never licensed.
I
they
get
never
that.
Were.
I get that. The, but was unlicensed to carry a firearm specifically, and then use that firearm and is now arrested. I'm just trying to. I don't see how you're connecting these two, and that is
he
all.
He works
I'm trying
for
to
Pinkerton.
Say. I okay.
So it's okay.
I'll give you
so,
that.
So that's all I'm saying. That is literally all I'm saying.
I for one, and slightly with Sheldon on this one. The Pinkertons have been cocksuckers for money for a long time, and they, Sheldon's absolutely right that they have been intimidating. And
I'm not. I want to be very clear. I'm not here protecting Pinkerton like they're a great company.
I don't think you are.
I'm not. But all I'm trying to say is, and I agree with you that. It's bullshit that this company has been hired to bust up unions, and we're all pro-labor here, right? But what I'm trying to say is that this particular incident, specifically where this guy gunned down a right-winger, and gunned down a right-winger specifically to protect the person that he was meant to protect, is still going to get charges and get put in jail. It's because there are other things that are behind it, right? What I will say is I'm very happy in the fact that it wasn't a Black Lives protester that did this, because this speaks directly to the story that when we talk about protests in this country and riots and burning and all of the violence that happens, I would say if you look at it 99.99% of the time, it is right-wing agitators that are actually making this happen. And that is the story that I truly care about. Because
that was the bad news part. That was the bad news part. It's being spun that way in media.
Oh, it's
all over the place.
It's actually not. If you read the local media, it's not being spun that way.
Just last night on my local news, it was referred to as being an Antifa protest, except they mispronounced Antifa, but beyond,
yeah.
Yeah, it was like
it was probably a Sinclair station doing it too. But the point I'm trying to make,
it wasn't. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is that they were very clear here where it actually does matter because it is local news. And they were very clear that it was a security guard.
Well,
for
hold on.
News.
What you were just saying was it's not local news. It's national news. It matters that it wasn't Black Lives Matter. And
I
the
get
only
it.
Reason it would matter was because... Okay, all right.
Okay,
all right.
Sheldon, you did catch me there. Trying to tie this particular thing to union busting... they're not the same. Yes, the company is the same, and fuck Pinkerton. I agree with you. They're two separate incidences, and that's all I'm saying.
It's the precedent that matters. Like, so So when Pinkerton busts up a picket line in order to get the temporary workers inside the shop, they physically bust it up, and they're doing so unlawfully. So this time around, when it starts to happen this time, when these private security guards come in on behalf of management and start busting through a picket line, they're going to jail for it, and that okay. would be good.
So,
yeah, but let the record show the picket line cannot block property. The picket line
yes,
cannot,
it can.
Cannot
yes, it
block
can.
A,
yes, it
block
can.
The gate.
No, yes, it can. Yes, it can.
No, it can't.
That's why the goddamn Pinkerton get called out, because the cops just, won't. It's illegal for the cops to bust up the Pinker line outside the property. That's why it's a picket line.
They have the right to protest. You have the right to protest. Yeah.
You
have the right to peaceful protest, but you don't have the right to like block entrance to someone's property. You have the right to do that peacefully.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you do.
As long as you're not
then
on their property,
the cops can't remove you.
Then how come this isn't done at every Planned Parenthood across the country?
They try.
Bullshit.
They try all the time. Just people go in anyway. They try all the time. People line the sidewalks at Planned Parenthood all the time.
My
God, we are so far off the rails.
Right now. We're off the rails. But the point is, this is a developing story. We're definitely going to talk about it again as we learn more facts, and it's definitely going to be something that I hear about.
Yeah,
Let's
not forget, as much as we make light of this, there's really not a great angle to this story where there's winners and losers.
It's just tragic.
This is two dicks like pushing each other to extremes, and one of them getting killed. And that's what's got to stop. If we're gonna protest, I just don't know that guns need to be involved. I don't know that we need to go out and ready and shoot things and kill things and be ready and armed to the teeth that way. It's just not good.
I agree with you, Caleb. So let's talk about the next story, which is the U.S. Postal Service. And we're not going to talk about the good news or apparent good news that came through today, because I actually have not even really dived into that story. We're going to talk about the special agents that raided the home of a mail carrier in Baldwin, Pennsylvania, who stashed several trash bags of mail and then left them on his curb for the garbage to pick up. Just, hey, I'm going to just go drop this on my curb, guys. Bags full of mail. His name's Sean Troshik, and he is, surprise, surprise, in his social media, a cesspool of far-right QAnon conspiracy theories. Apparently, he thinks that he believes horseshit about satanic pedophiles. He has posted memes on his Facebook talking about child sex trafficking, the standard QAnon bullshit, and, you know, staged race riots, Pizzagate, and he's even on multiple occasions shared posts from the QAnon conspiracy theorist Liz Crokin. And, for example, Crokin said in June that it wasn't surprising nor a coincidence that celebrities Chrissy Teigen and Patton Oswalt bailed out criminal rioters, considering that there's proof of those celebrities that they are pedophiles.
Just look at Patton Oswalt. You tell me. Okay, big fan. I'm a big fan. I really am legitimately a big fan of Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, but he looks weird. He looks weird. Sorry,
yeah,
Patton.
He does kind of look weird. Sorry, guy.
Oh, man. Come on. The documentary where his wife like was obsessed with catching the rapist in California. Good stuff.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, man. Oh, that was so awful.
Okay.
Let's not get into it.
Get back to the story. One of the first things I want to get into is USPS special agents. Sheldon.
The postal inspector, yeah.
Yeah, postal inspectors,
dude,
are like
why
federal
the fuck aren't
agents.
Aren't you a USPS,
dude,
special agent, bro?
Me?
Yes. Come on, dude. It sounds like such an awesome job.
They went on a boat. Awesome job.
Remember a couple weeks ago they went on a boat to go
they
get
went
that
on a
dude
boat
with
to go yeah.
That dude that had that bullshit about raising money for a wall that never
oh,
went to
the wall,
into
the
his
wall.
Boat.
Yeah,
dude, it sounds like
Bannon.
this sounds like Miami Vice only in the postal service, man. You should check this shit out.
I have my applications on file. That's all they said.
Oh. Wow. So here's my question. Is the fact that you're a card-carrying member of Antifa, is that good or bad for being a USPS special agent?
I thought I just tearfully admitted that I am not Antifa. I'm not Antifa.
Whatever, dude. I mean, we all hear the dog whistle, okay?
Yeah.
It was a call to arms.
So, really, was this guy a criminal mastermind? Is Sean Troche, is this a great idea?
What was he planning? Apparently, like, this was just mail. They weren't full of ballots or anything. It was, like, just mail. I wonder if this was just shit at the end of, like, his shift that he didn't deliver. And
he didn't feel like he had time or whatever.
Yeah, and he's just got this garage full of trash bags of mail because he's like, dude, it's 5:00. I'm fucking done. I'm done delivering today.
Yeah, maybe it happens sometimes.
Maybe he was just doing his part to say, hey, the mail's not being delivered.
And here's by me. It is especially not being delivered by me. It looked to me like it was a dry run because Troche was evidently engaged with the idea that this general election would be stolen, thanks in part to absentee ballots, which goes through the mail. And he decided to start tossing out a ton of undelivered mail, you know, before there were any ballots in the bags, just to find out what would happen.
Just to see if anyone would notice the 12 bags. I looked at the photo. It was about 12 bags. It was a dozen bags.
I won't pretend it's a rational decision, but I honestly think this guy had his like criminal success genius hat on. He's like, hey, look at me. I'm going to figure this thing out. He wanted to see what would happen when he tossed out bags of mainly bulk mail before he stepped up to the real game. And now he knows, right? He fucked around.
Again,
and
with
now
Sheldon planning out evil deeds for other people.
Hey, my favorite part is that Trump still brought it up in his first presidential debate, talking about, hey, we found bags of mail filled with ballots.
No, he was talking about something else.
But the point I'm trying to make is it still plays into the same dog whistle. The fact
you guys need to go stand at that window right now.
They're
going to
call out every single instance of any mail dumped anywhere as election fraud. It's the end of the world. They're stealing the election.
You know what's funny is I could probably save at least 3 or 4 bags of junk mail between now and the election, you know, and then just fucking like put that on my porch to see if people
freak out. It's hilarious, man. That's what this was. That's mainly what this was bulk mail. This was a carrier whose postal service
is truly pissed because they make a ton of money on that bulk mail, but it has to get delivered.
Yeah, it's got, and he hadn't been delivering it clearly for weeks. And
look, man, the mail, the post office is mentioned in the Constitution. All right, is your job mentioned in the Constitution?
Nope.
No. There's like the president, senators, but postal service also in the mail. There's like no other job. President, senator, and
the president, the House of Representatives.
Yes,
the
representatives. Sorry, I brain farted.
Judges.
No, the Electoral College.
That's
Jesus Christ. Don't fucking bring that up.
It's not a job. That's not a job. But yes, postman. Postman is mentioned. All right, moving on to Sean Troche. I think you tried, buddy. You're a dumbass.
He is a dumbass.
I'm glad he's going to prison. That, you know, I really am, because it just
he's
for
going
the
to prison for something dumb, right?
Just for the fact
to, like,
that he
not
was
doing his job.
Yeah, he was collecting undelivered bulk mail and then tried to throw it away. Man, that's a felony. And for whatever reason, like, I honestly do think it was a dry run. But let's talk about the facts of the case. The fact is, if you're getting paid to deliver the mail, dude, deliver the mail.
True. Yeah.
What, you know, but, just deliver the mail.
But speaking of facts, we have lots of
alternative facts
coming up. Because this is maybe the best story.
Hit that button.
Oh, so
oh,
much.
Here we go.
Here it comes. Yeah. So maybe the best story of the week. This is an explosive story or
alternative facts.
About a whistleblower. And this whistleblower that has turned in some emails from a laptop when he was repairing that was given to him by a person that he claims was Bo Biden.
Alternative facts.
And you know,
Hunter, truly yeah, alternative facts.
God,
truly that
was
alternative
truly,
facts.
God,
leave that totally, in. That stays in.
That does stays stay in. Totally Hunter Biden, and I totally called the wrong Biden because you know what? Bo Biden was a war hero, according to Joe Biden. And
okay,
who then never came back for that said laptop. So, for example, Hunter Biden apparently walked in the door with a water-damaged laptop, gave it to some random shop that happened to be a Trump supporter, and then these emails just all of a sudden show up that implicate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden in a multi-million dollar scheme where Hunter Biden is clearly peddling influence to give access to his father for people in Ukraine.
Alternative facts.
Also, the laptop repairman decided to make a copy of these emails and conveniently give them to none other than Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon.
And well, Rudy's lawyer, to be clear.
Specifically, yes. Yeah, and then he called the FBI, and then Rudy Giuliani then fed it to the New York Post, which calls it their blockbuster story. And the best part is that all the social media companies have decided that the background of this story first violates all of their policies on hacked data close to an election. And in the end, here's the one thing that I do want to say is that this still works for the Bannon playbook, which is even though this is a bullshit story, and it's total bullshit, right? We're going to dig into this a bit, and you're going to see how much bullshit there is in this story. But in the end, we're all talking about it, so still.
So, yeah.
Any press is good press. I mean, we could spend all night on that amazing trail of breadcrumbs about how that asshat got that laptop from someone supposedly calling himself Hunter Biden. Like, who? Talk about more fucking criminal masterminds. I'm just going to walk in to somewhere and be like, my name's Eric Trump. Here's a laptop of my dad's dick pics. And then just walk away, you know, and like see what hits the internet.
There happens to be a video of me smoking crack and banging hookers on it too. Just happens.
So I might have one of those videos on a laptop. Big deal, Coulter.
Crack is bad, I'm cool.
Okay.
So it gets a little bit better. This story gets a little bit interesting because this laptop repairman, McIsaac, said that he shared emails with Rudy Giuliani's lawyer, Brian Costello, because he was fearful for his safety. And when he was pressed on that fear, he wouldn't elaborate on any details on why he was fearful. And it's funny that he gave an interview with media anyway. I mean, if you're fearful for your life, like maybe shut the hell up and like crawl into your little turtle shell. But instead he gave an interview, and let's play a little clip from this interview.
Well, before I play the clip, I want to be very clear. This guy was actually not supposed to be, he was supposed to be an anonymous source, but they tracked it down to him because some of the metadata in the files actually tracked back to him, because they actually figured it out based on the time and location of some of the files that were produced that they actually posted in the story, because the New York Post did such a shitty job of vetting this story that they
not
actually...
the New York Post.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, totally.
The bastion of news etiquette that is the New York Post.
Yeah, they did such a shitty job that they left the metadata in some of the files, and that's how other reporters were able to track this guy down, because he was supposed to be an anonymous source. So he wasn't expecting any of this. So let's
He gave the emails and stuff to Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani gave it to the New York Post. The New York Post put in print and just straight doxed him. Dick move, New York Post. Anyway, let's play that clip.
Yeah.
I know, and it's totally fine if Rudy Giuliani reached out to you, if that's the truth, or if you reached out to him. We just kind of want to know what happened.
I can't talk about it. I don't want to talk about the timeline. I don't want to talk about who reached out to who first. And, I mean, it's... Maybe this is a better way out.
when you were going through this laptop, I mean, a lot of the content was from emails. Were these emails separately saved to a file or to the desktop, or were they just part of an inbox? Like, how did you find those emails?
No comment.
But it's pretty important.
No comment.
Because once again, it's just such an innocuous email. If I have 100,000 emails in my system right now, how would... Did you even see the email? Because I think that's important to know, too.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. No comment.
Did you at any time post this information or reach out on internet message boards, 4chan, 8chan, anything over Tor or the dark web, or in any ways inform a group of people about the existence of this laptop?
No.
No.
Just those people you trusted, you said.
Just the people that I thought that could help me reach out to the FBI in a manner that would attract FBI agents that weren't local, because I had a fear of repercussions.
So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there.
So much to unpack. Well, first of all of these reporters are asking the basic questions that any reputable news organization would have asked before they printed this story, period. The New York Post did not ask these questions and can't answer these questions because they didn't properly vet this stuff. And let's look at other big leaks that we know are vetted, like the Panama Papers. Let's use that for an example, right? The news organizations that had the Panama Papers, which were two, I think it was Der Spiegel and New York Times, spent months and sat on these documents for months vetting these documents to make sure that they were authentic, where they came from, so that when asked these questions, they had all the answers to it, right? And then they published the story. Another example would be The Intercept would do the same.
The rule of journalism verification is the rule of three.
Exactly.
You have to have a primary source and two secondary sources to corroborate and make one source.
Oh man,
you know,
this is
available to print.
This is getting so far beyond. My head is just exploding. Like how many times has a secondary source been the source which fed to the primary source? I'm sorry. God damn it. Like, so first of all, I want to say the Panama Papers. We are talking about this bullshit.
Go.
We're talking about this bullshit with the Hunter Biden thing. I'm going to scrap everything I wanted to say before, because the Panama Papers, we talked about it for what? How many days? And we have to sit here and talk about this horseshit, right?
I can't agree with you more, right?
It makes me want to cry.
It does make me want to cry.
One of the things I wanted to bring up that I thought was fascinating is how this is creating, you know, the shitstorm in conservative social media, saying that because Twitter and Facebook took the bold move of saying, look, we cannot corroborate the New York Post story, and it's really close to the election. And I get the feeling that Facebook and Twitter were so lambasted for not doing any censoring last time around because they just let Russian trolls post whatever the fuck they wanted all across their network.
Oh, come on. Russian trolls didn't win the fucking election.
They didn't win the election.
Sheldon, I'm fucking speaking for real.
Come on.
I know.
I know you are, and I'm for real too.
I didn't fucking say that, don't put words in my mouth. I'm sitting right here and you're fucking telling me that I said Russian trolls won the election. That's not what I said.
What he is saying is that Russian trolls did post disinformation and the social
media
companies
over
did
the place,
nothing.
And Facebook and Twitter got beat up about it. And so now they're being very, very conservative. And I think that they're just saying, look, we can't corroborate this story from the New York Post, and we don't think that the New York Post corroborated the story, and it's really close to the election, and we're not going to allow that spread of news. And I think that's fascinating, because it's making a shitstorm amongst conservatives.
I do want to talk about a bit when we say this particular story, in my mind, is something where... We have the personal attorney of the President of the United States trying to drop a story 3 weeks away from an election that basically fits the exact scenario that they were trying to create when he was impeached. And to be honest, it's just something where the source just isn't credible. Period.
Literally, some dude walked in and said, "My name's Hunter Biden," and dropped off a laptop. I mean, if that's not like an immediate sign of
bullshit.
But even
then, when pressed, he didn't fill out paperwork. And I'm sorry, if you walk in and drop off a laptop, you have to fill out a piece of paperwork that says, "Hey, I own this laptop and I authorize you to repair it." None of that was done for this laptop. And so these are not the types of things that happen in a laptop shop, even in this guy's laptop shop. And so the fact is that these are Trump. This just looks like trumped up bullshit trying to make a story 3 weeks away from an election for the right to grab onto because Bill Barr didn't come through with charges for the Obama administration.
I'm bored. Let's move on.
Oh, that's beautiful. Let's move on to some fun.
Let's say goodbye to the news for now.
How do we have fun, Coulter?
How do we have fun? We have to just head over to our friends at Zimmerman's Playhouse.
Woohoo! Whiz bang! Whiz bang! Pop, pop.
Okay, so this week we revisit the state of Michigan, where last week we found a group of hapless lunatics thinking that they would overthrow the government by kidnapping the governor. This week, Michigan gives us a hapless lunatic whom the state and county government seem unwilling to swiftly punish. And that was my main takeaway. Thank you very much, both of you, for giving me stories and things to get angry about. I'll give you the basics really quickly. There was a man named Lee Moat, 42 years old. He was charged with assaulting an 18-year-old man named Devin Freeland. It will surprise nobody that Lee Moat, the assailant, was white, and Devin Freeland was a black man. Yeah, so it occurred at a Sterling State Park in a beach area, and it's just one of these really cool ways that the Karen-blooded white people want to express their concern over colored people on their beaches. So
Karen-blooded. Karen-blooded.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it.
One of the reasons why this came back, this happened a little bit ago, but it came back into the news because they're officially charging him with a hate crime. And if you don't know, being charged with a hate crime is really hard because it's insanely hard to convict. You have to like jump through 10 hoops, like create a pentagram, call someone 10 N-bombs. Like there's a series of things that you have to do to qualify for a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so this makes this particular gentleman like, bravo. Well done, sir. You have officially qualified for a hate crime in the United States of America.
So what this Moat genius did, this, you know, upstanding citizen, he was offended at the presence of colored people, otherly colored than him, being around near him. And he started a verbal altercation, walked off to a parking lot just outside the beach area, and grabbed a bike lock. Do I get this right? He grabbed a bike lock and
so old school.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like a big chain with a lock on it, but
yeah,
then
yeah.
I'm thinking
not the chain.
I ride with a U-lock on my bike,
yeah, and
I ride with it specifically because it's like that's the better weapon. Legit. if you mess with me on my bicycle, good luck.
So, you said yelling the N-word, okay? Well,
yes, he was.
He was yelling the N-word at these otherly pigmented people. And yeah, he eventually decided, I've had enough of this. So, they began mouthing off back to him because why wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just tolerate that from this person?
He walked away. This guy walked away. And then the person he assaulted went back to his car to grab something from the beach, and he was assaulted there.
So he waited until he was alone.
Yeah.
It was a chain. It was a chain.
Was a chain?
It was a chain. He was using a chain. He was using a chain. Okay, it was so anyway, I'm sorry. It was a chain bike lock. He dislocated this kid's jaw, knocked a few of his teeth out. All right. This guy
Send
belongs.
This motherfucker to the house.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I want to point this out. This incident occurred on June 6th. The reason why the state of Michigan has finally charged Steady Eddie Moat with hate crimes is because the county in which he resides failed to charge him with anything.
What?
From June 6th forward.
What? What?
What? On June 9th.
How do you hit someone in the face with a bike lock and don't get
with
charged
with a bike chain? On June 9, a county judge arraigned this individual, and nothing happened since. He wasn't taken to jail. He wasn't scheduled for any kind of trial date. The state finally, like 3 months later.
Let's see. It sounds like two different law systems. One if you're black and one if you're white. Because if he was a black man who did that, he'd been in jail this entire time.
Oh, God. He would have been in jail that day.
He would have been not granted bail. He would have, or bail he couldn't have afforded. And he'd be sitting in jail until he went to court. That's how, that is the world we live in.
How, okay. So you were begging for it. Lee Moat for the crime. For the crime. Of assaulting someone with a bicycle chain lock? For the crime of doing that because you disagree with the pigmentation of their skin being on your beach, sir, you may fuck all the way off to Zimmerman's place. And you know, I'm just not getting into it here. Because goddamn it, he got him in June.
That guy was a dick. That's another one that I think deserves maybe to be actually in the playhouse.
And don't we wish that state prison were Zimmerman's playhouse?
I'm just saying, no disclaimer this time.
Zimmerman was fondling him. I fondle him.
What's next, Coulter?
Well, we all know what's next.
For our science lesson for today,
what you're seeing and what you're reading,
we will continue our discussion,
is not what's happening.
Of Darwin's theory of the descent of man.
This week to start off, dumb Americans, we have California. Hint, note, not Florida. Huh? You guys proud?
Yeah, no Florida this week. All right. Okay. California. Not yet.
Yeah, no, there was, yeah, we'll get there.
All right.
California megachurch pastor John MacArthur. Who has been like already fined and threatened with more fines for having his mega church packed full of people without any masks on, despite all the regulations put out because of some weird thing known as the coronavirus. He went out on a beautiful limb this week, and his great quote is, quote, "God intended us to use this planet to fill this planet for the benefit of man. Never was it intended to be a permanent planet. It is a disposable planet. Christians ought to know that."
There is no scientific reason to believe that ice caps are melting. By the way, there are three times more polar bears now than there were 40 years ago. I don't know why I threw that in.
That's a lie.
Can't fall victim to the political agenda against business and industry born out of atheism, naturalism, feminism, class envy. Man is not the enemy of nature. He's the steward of nature, and God gave him this planet to use up. The Earth is not a fragile ecosystem, billions of years old and held together by random chance. It is a strong, robust system held together by God, who upholds all things by his power.
So I could have made that clip. Like, we could have just played the whole 40-minute sermon. This guy has built a reputation on just being anti-global warming and somehow connecting that to God, and somehow he gets parishioners in there. I just don't get it. I don't get it. It's absolutely fascinating that he thinks that that's, I mean, God's will is to use the planet up at a whim.
I will say that this is a pretty normal stance for the Christian right, specifically evangelicals. They even call out specific Bible quotes saying things as ridiculous as, you know, God placed the planet here for us to absorb and take it is 100% for man's consumption. And that is a pretty normal stance when it comes to the Christian right in general. You hear it time and time and time again in a lot of sermons, not just this guy. It's a very, very
normal
sermon.
He's also wonderfully anti-feminist. He has these quotes about feminism being against the success of men. He's just a true specimen. But the whole idea that this is a disposable planet, fuck off, man. Fuck off.
You know, to be honest, we could dispose of this planet, and if we do so, man won't be here and the planet will be. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, wow. In a bonus Dumb Americans this week, we also have Everett Thomas Little, 20-year-old out of Fort Myers,
Florida.
You guessed it, Florida.
There we go. We can never have a show with Florida in it.
I know, it felt wrong, so I put an extra one in. He faces charges on first-degree arson using an incendiary device and criminal mischief with property damage for unsuccessfully trying to burn down a Planned Parenthood. He was quickly identified from the video on the premises. So two things. Like, the guy threw a couple of Molotov cocktails at a brick building, and that didn't work out. But, like... He's on video. Yeah. And then he's on video with no mask on the property. And I'm like, man, if you're not wearing a fucking mask while committing a crime in 2020 where it's completely socially acceptable to be running around with a mask on, like, what kind of moron are you, pal?
He's a Trump supporter, period. That is proof of the moronic intellectual level of a Trump supporter right there on every level.
God forbid that Trump supporters get smarter. It would be terrible.
You can't. They can't. Right?
All right. Let's move on to the next segment.
Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that what you're saying? That the lowest, dumbest form of life is someone who supports Donald Trump.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
I'm really
okay.
Not.
Okay.
I am. I'm really not.
I am. I'm saying that. Totally behind that, Sheldon. We're good. Anybody who supports Donald Trump, probably the lowest.
Oh, I wasn't saying so myself. I was just asking. Like,
was that a hypothetical? Because I will own up to that.
It was a rhetorical question.
I just got to say.
It was rhetorical.
Oh, let's use the word rhetorical because that's a word above the level of a Trump supporter.
I can't say that.
We lost 50% of the audience. We know half of our audience are Trump supporters. Like you were saying,
I'm
Caleb.
Just saying that the criminals, the problem is that we have the Bill Barrs of the world. I mean, that guy's got enough smarts on him to like actually do shit. And like, there only may be four or five dudes that smart that are on that side, but the four or five dudes that are there are really fucking wrecking house right now.
We say that, but then in the end, you know, Trump's real pissed at Bill Barr this week, but that's a whole nother
story. He is. Like, how is he? He doesn't know the level of evil mastermind that he's got on his side, and if he pisses him off, he's going to be pissed.
You know, the way I look at Donald Trump in general, and this is before we get into the next segment, is, and this is just in general, right? There's like two levels of stupid, right? There's like stupid that's like so dumb. Hey, I pity you, man. Like, you're just dumb. And you know, and they're like, yeah, I'm dumb and I feel bad. You know, can you help me be smarter? There's like that kind of dumb, right?
My dog is that way.
Yeah, your dog is that way. Exactly. And then there's like Donald Trump stupid that is so stupid that they can't even fathom the fact that they are stupid. And Donald Trump is so dumb that you can't even teach him what is right or wrong because he can't see it, period. He just doubles down on dumb, and then whatever's the worst decision, he's going to double down on that. And that is Donald Trump, period. So he's like dangerously stupid would be the word I would put it.
In better news, let's move on to the numbers.
Let's do move on to the numbers.
We would have had 3 or 4 million lives lost as opposed to worried about 112, 115,000.
1492.
We have 4 million people as opposed to where it is now, which is probably 115.
The 1619 project, where did that come from?
Right, it could get up to 150, could go beyond that.
$2.5 billion we're putting in is a very good chance you're not going to die.
Okay. As I said before, I voted today. And I'm all geeked out on the elections, and so I spent the day culling some stats on the presidential polling stats. So let's go. 10.6 million is the number of people that have already voted. 990 million is the number of dollars raised by Joe Biden. 1.33 billion is the amount of money raised by Trump. 51% is the latest poll percentage of white people that have been polled for voting for Biden. And that is a category that Trump won by 20 points in 2016. And no Democrat has taken that since Jimmy Carter in 1976. 20 is the number of points that Biden leads in voters over 65 and older, a category that Trump won by 9 points in 2016, and that category is a whopping 27% of the entire electorate. 9 or 10 is the number of points that Biden is leading by nationally, but that doesn't matter because 8 is the number of swing states that will effectively decide the presidential race, because 1 is the number of countries in the entire fucking world that decide their national elections by way of an electoral college. Speaking of electoral college, 29 electoral college votes belong to Florida, which Biden is leading by 3.3 points. 10 electoral college votes belong to Pennsylvania, which Biden is leading by 6.4 votes. 18 EV votes belong to Ohio, which Trump is winning by 2 points. 16 to Michigan, which is going to Biden by 7.9 points right now. 15 in North Carolina is going to Biden by 4.1. Arizona being led by Biden by 3.3 points. Wisconsin is being led by Biden by 7.3 points. That's 10 electoral votes. 6 electoral votes in little tiny Iowa are owned by Trump by a hair by 0.4 votes. That's kind of big considering Iowa's kind of small. And 1 is the number of votes that I personally cast for Howie Hawkins today.
You voted for Kanye West for real?
I said Howie Hawkins.
You totally voted for Kanye West, didn't you?
I said I voted for Howie Hawkins. Don't tell Kanye.
You totally voted for Kanye.
Look, dude, if Kanye was running for the Green Party, I would fucking have voted for Kanye.
I he was on my ballot too and didn't even think about voting for Kanye.
Well, I mean, your vote counts though.
What do you mean my vote counts? Doesn't your
Are you guys not jacked about the season? We are like right into the middle of this. We're right in the middle of the beautiful election shit show that we have been waiting for so long.
Sheldon, how do you feel about the election shit show right now?
I'm bored. that's it.
Why are
Sheldon's
you bored?
Waiting for us to turn this into a football podcast.
No. Sheldon, tell us how you feel about the NFL. How does the leftist feel about the NFL is the question of the day.
No. We were talking about
Sheldon,
the election.
Sheldon, do we need good. To... What's wrong with you? Do we need to add cocaine to the Manhattan as a part of the... You've been dragging ass this whole night, man.
No, it's good, man. I'm just listening to y'all tonight.
All right.
It's good. You know, the leftist can have a bad day. He can have a day.
Oh, this is a bad day?
He can have the day where the passion is down.
Dude, he's got a limp pitchfork.
He does have a limp pitchfork. Well, I got to say is the fact that, you know, I have voted as well as you. And I will say what blew my mind is that I received my ballot last week. Actually, the beginning of last week. It was actually, if I remember correctly, it was last Friday. And I filled out my ballot and I drove it down to the drop box. I dropped it in. And only today have I got the text message notification that they had received my ballot and that it was in. So kind of crazy that it took that long.
If we could take a second, that stat, that 51% of Biden leading over white people, and I know that that's a national stat and it really doesn't matter. But that is a category that the Democrats haven't won since 1976, since before I was born.
Shocking. That's the last time a Republican president was impeached as well, or was going to be impeached anyway.
No, Jimmy Carter was president.
Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter. Gerald Ford was president. Landslide.
Gerald Ford was president when Jimmy Carter. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Whatever.
Gerald Ford. But what I'm trying to say is that Gerald Ford was only president because
Nixon resigned.
Would you say that this could be a loss at Watergate levels? Is that what you're trying to imply?
No, and specifically because the electorate has changed drastically in the last what is that 44 45 years.
40
definitely Kmart.
44
Kmart.
Years.
Definitely Kmart.
God damn it, Sheldon. Go did you bring up a Forrest Gump reference? Can I just end the show?
That was Rain Man.
Oh, but it reminded me of Forrest Gump. And did you know that cops are like a box of chocolates? They'll kill your dog.
Well done, sir. Yeah, I like that.
I have actually not heard that joke. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I'm signing off, boys. I'm done.
Well, before we sign off, I want to say that, yes, the electorate has changed because here's the one part that you didn't point out is how many people that are white males my age and your age that are voting for Trump.
I've seen them.
Because I think that number is big.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where you're going with this.
Is that white males that are Gen X are voting well for Matt, for Trump. They're all about Trump.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be nice if there were an alternative?
There is. It's like called Joe Biden.
Oh, really? That's the alternative. Cool.
To Donald Trump, it is.
All right. Gonna go vote now. you guys may be jazzed, and that's cool, but
here's what I'm jazzed crap. For. Sheldon, here's what I'm jazzed for.
I just told
for.
You who I voted for, Sheldon.
I know.
You can't give me shit, pal.
Oh, I'm not really giving you shit. Not
here,
really.
Whoa, guys.
Tangentially.
Here's what I'm jazzed about.
Tangentially.
And I think that this is what the
Not a word that applies there.
This is what I'm jazzed about, and here's what I think the country is jazzed about. Is I think the country in general is just ready, and we'll see on November 3rd or 3 weeks after November 3rd, who knows. But the point is that I think the company is ready for Sleepy Joe because they don't want to have to deal with the daily insanity that is coming from the White House. And I think
I'm a little scared that if Joe wins, I'm going to have to make all new drops.
No, you got until June 20th at least.
Which is why you didn't vote for him. You don't want to have to go through that.
Oh, imagine the Kanye drops.
He's going to have enough gas.
Kanye drops would be so good. The Kanye drops would be so good.
All right, all right. Let's wrap this shit up.
You want to wrap this up? Fine. Why don't we head on over to Patreon? Because that's patreon.com/leftandleftist. And there you can give it any amount. And your support is going to keep this show coming to you week after week. Just like all of our other patrons who, for some reason at the beginning of this show, gave us money. And we haven't had anybody else. So please, please help us out. That would be great. It's going to help us actually advertise for the show. That's actually the big reason we're going to use the Patreon money. I've been saving it up so that we could do some advertising and get more listeners, because we're just a little podcast that could, but we're having a good time. And then the next thing we're going to say is write us a review. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Head over to podchaser.com. Write us a review. Your review is going to help the show come to you week after week, or not week after week, but really I'm just now have had way too many cocktails. And then the last part we're going to say is...
call us. Call the leftness.
Thank you. Call the leftness.
Call the left.
Call the leftness. Check us out. Left and leftist.
That's 601 leftnest. 601.
601 leftnest.
Leftnest. And just so you know, my wife threatened to call the leftnest the other day. And please, we don't want that to happen, because my wife is so, so, so good at talking shit. We really don't want that to happen. And
bring
I kind of want you that
tell
to
her
happen.
You tell her good. That the Kali Ma said bring it.
That would be good.
I will. It'll be
all right.
Good times.
All right.
And other than that, that's it for this week. We'll talk to you next week on Left and Leftist.
So long, comrades.